headlines, Russia and China accuse the United States of trying to destroy the international legal architecture and try to rely on Cold War-era military and political alliances. Yemen's Ansarullah movement says it has launched a drone attack on Abha Airport in the southern Saudi Arabia. And at least 15 people are killed and 400 others remain missing after a massive fire ripped through a Rohingya refugee camp in Bangladesh. And welcome to our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumish Ahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. China and Russia believe the U.S. is trying to destroy international legal architecture. That is according to a joint statement by the Russian and Chinese top diplomats. The statement accused the U.S. of relying on Cold War-era military and political alliances. It also blasted European and Western sanctions as unacceptable. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is in China, where he has met his counterpart Wang Yi on Monday and Tuesday. During their talks, the two urged the U.S. to halt unilateral bullying and stop meddling in other countries' domestic affairs. The United States has imposed sanctions on both China and Russia in the past months over various issues. The measures have escalated U.S. tensions with the two countries. Yemeni forces have launched a fresh drone attack inside Saudi Arabia in retaliation for the kingdom's continued aggression and blockade. Yemen's Ansarullah movement said the drone strikes hit a military base on Abha International Airport in southern Saudi Arabia. It comes amid an escalation in the six-year war on Yemen, which has killed tens of thousands of people. This week, Saudi Arabia hit a grain port and a food company's living quarters in Salif Port, as well as the capital Sana'a. The raids had violated a 2018 agreement brokered by the UN that designates the port of Salif as a neutral zone. In response, the Yemeni army launched a string of drone and missile strikes inside Saudi Arabia. Last week, the Aramco oil facility in Riyadh was also targeted. Iran has called for an end to the Saudi-led war on Yemen, which will enter its seventh year later in March. In a statement, the Iranian Foreign Ministry urged an end to the ongoing blockade on Yemen. It also issued a statement on the anniversary of the Saudi-led war, which the ministry described as a big crime against Yemeni people. Tehran denounced Riyadh and its allies for killing civilians on a daily basis. It also denounced the continued military support for the Saudi-led coalition. The Iranian statement stressed that there is no military solution to the crisis in Yemen. It voiced support for any peace initiative that allows Yemenis to decide their future without foreign meddling. Yemenis have declined a peace offer to put forward by Saudi Arabia. They say the kingdom must stop its military campaign against Yemen and lift its siege before any negotiations. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Abdul Latif Al-Awashali, has more.
Saudi Arabia has proposed a new peace initiative to end the six-year old war in Yemen. The offer includes a nationwide ceasefire and conditioned reopening of Sana'a Airport and Hodeidah Port on the Red Sea coast. Yemen has declined the offer and called for an end to the war and siege imposed by Saudi Arabia.
I believe the first step towards peace in Yemen should be lifting the blockade of the ports and airports of Yemen and ending this war as soon as possible. Seizing and detaining oil ships is worsening the humanitarian crisis in Yemen, and I cannot see peace happening without letting in oil ships, because it's contributing a lot to the humanitarian suffering of the Yemeni people.
Yemenis demanded the release of impounded oil tankers as the first real step toward peace. Moreover, the Ansarullah movement said bargaining over the humanitarian situation for military gains is a crime and there will be no negotiations before the war is stopped and the aerial and maritime siege is lifted. The Saudi initiative comes amid the Yemeni army's escalation of retaliatory attacks against Saudi facilities and its continued advancement toward the city of Marib, the last stronghold of Saudi-backed forces in northern Yemen. Yemenis say Riyadh has released their oil tankers to prove its good intentions in order to move toward with a political solution. Otherwise, the Yemeni army will press ahead with its operations against Saudi targets. Abdulatif Al-Washali, Sana.
The United Nations says millions of people in a conflict hit Yemen, South Sudan, and northern Nigeria are at risk of famine in the coming months. A joint report by the World Food Program and Food Agriculture Organization has identified three of 20 areas as hunger hotspots. It says the number of Yemenis facing acute food insecurity will rise by 3 million to over 16 million, with 5 million of them being in emergency situation. According to the report, millions of people in South Sudan and northern Nigeria are also expected to be in food crisis. The report warns that the number could rise further if urgent and large-scale targeted humanitarian actions are not taken. Israelis are heading to the polls to cast ballots in the fourth general election in less than 2 years. The latest opinion polls have suggested a continued political deadlock there. None of the Israeli bloc seem likely to secure the required 61 seats for forming a cabinet. The election comes as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is on trial for corruption and faces criticism over his COVID response. Netanyahu has two main opponents. One is Gideon Saar, the leader of Israel's New Hope Party. And another rival is Naftali Bennett, the chairman of the far-right Yamina Party. Netanyahu has remained in power since the first inconclusive elections in 2019, based on an emergency agreement. The UN says at least 15 people have been killed and 400 remain missing after an inferno ripped through a Rohingya refugee camp in Bangladesh. The UN Refugee Agency said 560 people were also injured, while 45,000 people were displaced after the blaze broke out in Cox's Bazar on Monday. It destroyed tents housing thousands of Rohingya. This was the third fire to hit the settlement in 4 days. The cause of the fires is still unknown, despite investigations. Rohingya are Muslims from Myanmar. More than 1 million of them are currently living in overcrowded camps in the town of Cox's Bazar. Most of them crossed into Bangladesh following a state-sponsored crackdown in Myanmar's Rakhine state in 2017. Germany says it will impose a strict 5-day shutdown over the Easter holidays next week to contain the third wave of the coronavirus.
We are at a place where we are now in a very, very serious situation. The 1st and 3rd of April will be designated one of quiet days with extensive contact restrictions as well as a ban on gatherings between 1st and 5th of April, an extended quiet time over Easter. The point is that over 5 consecutive days, people should stay at home.
Germany also is extending its general lockdown until April 18th, reversing a plan to gradually reopen the economy. Authorities say COVID cases are rising exponentially, and intensive care beds are filling up again. In the past 24 hours, the country has reported nearly 7,500 new COVID cases and 250 related deaths elsewhere in Europe. Ukraine registered more than 330 new deaths in the past 24 hours. That was a record daily high. New cases were above 11,400 there. The U.S. Health Agency says a British pharmaceutical company, AstraZeneca, and may have used out-of-date information on the results of a COVID-19 vaccine trial. The U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases said it is concerned that AstraZeneca may have provided an incomplete view of the efficacy data. It called on the company to review the outcome of trial and ensure the most accurate data and make an up-to-date efficacy public as quick as possible. The call came a day after the findings of a large U.S. trial showed the AstraZeneca vaccine was safe and highly effective. The company is seeking U.S. clearance for the vaccine next month. This year, the United Nations has designated March 22nd as World Water Day. The event aims to raise awareness about different aspects of the global water crisis. That comes as there are doubts on whether the world's advanced economies can take the crisis seriously.
As the global population is sharply growing, one commodity is in sharp decline: water. According to the World Bank, the population growth together with climate change will result in water scarcity, something researchers say will pose all kinds of problems and threats. In essence, almost everything depends on water. Mankind, animals, energy, and even land. As countries mark World Water Day, many governments around the world have been organizing campaigns to raise awareness that every drop counts. In Brazil, under the waters of many of Rio de Janeiro's coastline, lies trash from fishermen and locals. According to Brazilian environmentalists, this is seriously threatening the safety of the natural ecosystem. The South American country throws some 325,000 tons of plastic into the sea, and the pollution affects some 100 coastal lagoons of the Rio de Janeiro state coast. An environmental group has held a cleanup event. They are using scuba gear to pick up trash littering the bottom of the sea, an effort to protect the country's water and biodiversity.
It's already important as a commodity today. So if you don't think of water as an important commodity, it's probably because you live in an urban area or in a developed country where tap water is drinkable. But if you move out of these spaces, you'll realize how precious drinking water is.
Water is essential. Water is needed to drink, for hygiene and for agriculture. So water will be the basis of civilization, the basis of human life, for as long as we can foresee, and therefore water resources will be very important.
Researchers say the water sanitation problems in large swathes of the planet are a real danger. Rivers are running dry, lakes are being contaminated, and groundwater is being depleted. Growing demands from agriculture, energy production, and climate change are also contributing to the increasingly short supply of water. NGOs are doing their best to play a part too.
NGOs have spent a lot of money funded by donors to expand the supply network, to give access to people to water. So through the construction of wells and piped water systems, where the issue for my research is that money is not available for the maintenance and upkeep of these systems. So you might give people initial access to water, but how do you maintain that? How do communities maintain that access to water?
Experts say over the past decades, the best sources of drinking water have been severely degraded because of overuse and bad preservation management.
Now, the theme of World Water Day 2021 has been dubbed Valuing Water. The UN says the value is much more than economic value. It is quite clear how important water is for households, food, economies, as well as the environment, among other things. The UN says if the value of water is overlooked, there is a risk of mismanaging an irreplaceable resource. What with that, we have also greater risks to come.
From the United United States to Australia to the Middle East, huge areas of the world are drying up. According to the World Health Organization, billions of people around the world are suffering from poor access to safe drinking water. There is a growing body of research suggesting that the shortage of this vital commodity will lead to armed conflicts between nations. International organizations are sounding the alarm about the dangers of territories being on the verge of an epic drought. Concern has been raised as to whether a lack of drinking water will lead to armed conflict between nations in the future.
There have been at times when water scarcity has led to serious international tensions. One example is in the Middle East between Syria, Jordan, and Israel over the Jordan River and the allocation of its water resources. That has not led to actual war, but it certainly led to an increase in political tensions.
I think any resource that is scarce can lead to wars, especially one that is so crucial to our lives. Even as of now, water has led to a lot of dispute, so I wouldn't...
By 2050, more than half of the global population is expected to face water stress. Water stress is when demand outweighs available water resources. More than 2 billion people live in countries experiencing water stress. 1 in 5 children worldwide do not have enough water to meet their daily needs. 2 in 5 people worldwide, or 3 billion, do not have a hand washing facility with water and soap at home. Providing access to safe drinking water and sanitation in 140 low- and middle-income countries would cost $114 billion per year. Agriculture accounts for nearly 70% of global water withdrawals. Climate change is altering rainfall patterns, reducing water availability, and worsening the damage caused by floods and droughts around the world. In a statement to mark the occasion, the European Union said access to sufficient, safe, acceptable, physically accessible and affordable water remains a challenge in many parts of the world. The bloc also warned that sustainable management of water resources requires global action through strong international cooperation and that everyone needs to play their full part in ensuring inclusive access to water and sanitation worldwide.
And with that, we come to the end of this edition of World News.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The Limelight.
By promoting fossil fuel projects overseas, especially gas infrastructure, the United States is making it harder for countries to decarbonize. Han Chen, manager of energy for the International Program at the Natural Resources Defense Council, said in a statement. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Jake Johnson. The article is published under the heading More than 430 groups from 6 continents demand Biden end all U.S. subsidies for global fossil fuel projects. Stay with us for more of Jake Johnson's article. A coalition of more than 430 environmental organizations spanning 53 countries have recently called on the Biden administration to quickly cut off all U.S. public financing for fossil fuel projects overseas and work with governments around the world to bring about an end to taxpayer subsidies for the dirty energy sources driving the global climate emergency. We urge the Biden administration to act swiftly to end new financing for all parts of the fossil fuel supply chain, including for gas, stop new U.S. fossil fuel support within 90 days across all government institutions, and work with other nations to end fossil fuel financing, reads a letter sent to top Biden administration officials, including Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, and Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. Signed by 432 environmental groups from six continents, including Africa, Asia, and South America, comes weeks after U.S. President Joe Biden delivered a speech at the White House condemning handouts to big oil and vowing to work with U.S. Congress to eliminate subsidies to fossil fuel industry in the United States. Governments can't claim to be serious about climate change if they pump billions of dollars into the most polluting industries every year, said Alex Dukas of Oil Change International, one of the signatories. If President Joe Biden is serious about zeroing out emissions by mid-century or even earlier, the U.S. must end its billions of dollars in support for oil, gas, and coal projects around the world. Arguing the United States' action to end public funding of fossil fuel infrastructure could spur other nations to follow suit, the new letter urges President Biden to follow through on his initial steps towards launching a whole-of-government approach to tackling the climate crisis. The groups point to Biden's January executive order directing federal officials to craft a plan aimed at promoting the flow of capital towards climate-aligned investments and away from high-carbon investments. Despite the need to rapidly reduce fossil fuel production and use, G20 governments have provided more than three times as much in public finance for fossil fuel as for renewable energy every single year since the 2015 adoption of the Paris Climate Accord, the group noted. U.S. institutions such as the U.S. Export-Import Bank, EXIM, and the U.S. International Development Finance Corporation, DFC, have provided billions of dollars for new fossil fuel projects annually, together averaging $4.4 billion per year over the past decade. The good news is that by acting decisively, the letter continues, the Biden administration can accelerate a global shift away from public finance for fossil fuels. The coalition proceeds to lay out its desired timeline for action from the Biden administration. Develop plans for ending fossil fuel finance across all institutions as soon as possible within the 90-day time frame. While the executive order does not specify a deadline for Treasury to develop a strategy on the use of voice and vote, or a deadline for the specified agencies to articulate a plan to promote ending international financing of fossil fuel-based energy, we ask the strategies and implementation plans regarding voice and vote and international diplomacy also be completed within a 90-day time frame, similar to what was specified for other areas such as the development of the climate finance plan. Clear Treasury guidance under multilateral development banks should be released as soon as possible in order to establish the U.S. position ahead of the Asian Development Bank's forthcoming energy policy review, with a draft policy due to be released within weeks. Have all measures take effect soon after the completion of the plan, while also seeking comment on ways to strengthen the plans further, and to conduct a public consultation process aimed at ensuring the outcome is as ambitious as possible. By promoting fossil fuel projects overseas, especially gas infrastructure, the U.S. is making it harder for countries to decarbonize. Han Chen, Manager of Energy for International Program at the Natural Resources Defense Council, said in a statement. Han Chen added, "We have to stop subsidizing fossil fuel companies at the expense of our climate."
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are mostly based upon the book, Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. We have in the studio our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. Salaamu alaikum, Brother Miqdad. How are you?
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
So, dear audience, in the previous program, we were discussing about a question that where mother is asking, I enrolled my two boys to gymnastics a few months ago, and they were doing really well. But all of a sudden, they lost all motivation for it. I don't think anything specific happened, but they just don't want to go anymore. My children are 7 and 5. What do you advise me to do? So in the previous show, we were discussing about how to keep our children motivated and how children should have a sense of achievement when they're doing specific activities. And Brother Miqdad, in this program, we'll discuss about the things which will have a negative impact on children. So please continue.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we talk about the positive things, the things that bring about motivation, whether it's fun, whether it's leads to a sense of achievement and success, sense of fitting, also working together with other friends, finding friends and partners in what they do. And then we talked about the importance of not having any negative impacts, those things that will actually remove motivation. So one of them obviously is too much criticism, right? When we have too much criticism, especially in children that are 5 and 7, what happens is that they feel that they feel not appreciated, and they feel has a direct link with demotivation, basically. That they do something, and when they do this thing, the teacher or the parent, the coach or the brothers and sisters, they tell them that this move is not right, this is not right over here, and this is particular one is not correct, that one is not correct. This actually builds a kind of sense of frustration within them. And a sense of lack of achievement that I thought I did it well, but suddenly my teacher said there's 3 faults in it, my parents said there's 5 faults in it.
It demotivates them.
It demotivates them. The lack of achievement comes over there. So we have to be very careful about criticism. Now, obviously, as parents and especially as trainers and coaches, we want the best from these young children that are doing gymnastics, and you want to teach them and make them better and improve their skills. Yeah. So there is a level of teaching which involves correcting, right? Yeah. But there's a way to do it, right? Which ensures that the child feels this level of achievement, but at the same time is happy to actually take on board criticism, right? So one of the things that we do, for example, is to actually train a child that accept or ask for criticism, right? So you show them the way it's done, a particular move, how it's done, whether you the trainer
rather than criticizing, you teach them.
Exactly. So you show it, for example. And then you tell them, like, let's look at it and say, how can we do this better, right? And naturally, you'll see the child will do it. And it's like, can you please watch me and see how I can improve it? Where did I go wrong? When a child asks for criticism, this is very positive. This is where you can actually start teaching this. Okay, if you do this better, this might work. Another way is to asking questions, for example, saying, is it possible for you to do this? Or do you think if you do this in this way, it might improve the move or the particular skill? So through different ways, we can actually teach a child to improve their skill. Sometimes it just simply requires time. The more a child practices, and the slowly a child will just get the hang of it, basically, and how it's done. We don't always have to go in very straight and criticize and correct it too quickly. And this applies to different spheres of our lives as well. This applies to not just in sports, but in other things as well, in tarbiyah, whether it's related to our religious practices, etc., our behavior. Parents have to learn that in tarbiyah, we don't always have to go and attack. We don't have to go and criticize. Sometimes, through time and practice, things just correct themselves.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Brother Maghdad. And your audience, it's time for a short break. We'll be right back after a short break.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, excessive blame causes the fire of obstinacy to flame.
Welcome back to your audience. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing from IRIB English Radio. We're discussing about how criticism creates a negative impact on children. So it might be the coach or it might be the parents. Brother Maghdad mentioned that the better way of criticism is, you know, rather than criticizing the children, you need to teach them. So Brother Maghdad, please continue.
Another thing that negatively impacts motivation is humiliation, is any words or even actions that could affect one's self-respect or one's self-confidence. If a child feels that I was laughed at, or I was told in a way that my respect wasn't maintained, whether it's by teachers or even my parents, this actually is a natural cause for demotivation. We should always be in a way to encourage self-respect and self-confidence, right? Children who feel that they have a sense of importance, that they feel that they are able to do things, are children that are their motivation to do them, right? The moment you lose that feeling, the moment you think that, no, I'm not able to do it, if you don't think you're able to do it, you won't do it, right? You won't feel motivated to do things. So what are the key factors for motivation? And this is applicable anywhere. What motivates one of the things that motivates a person to do certain thing is actually to understand and to realize that they are able to do it. In fact, let me mention in bracket over here, one of the reasons why many of us don't feel motivated to embark on the spiritual journey or get closer to Allah, try and correct our sins and perform good actions. One of the reasons is because we think that we are not able to do so. We think that we won't be able to get to the to the goal, right? We think that we're not good enough for the spirituality. This is what we think of ourselves, and this is why we don't have any motivation to do so. So the mistake comes at that realization that, no, actually, no, you are able to. Allah has created you in a way that you are able to do this, and that it is within you, and you have the ability to go on this journey and remove yourself from doing from committing sins and adopt the path of the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, in gymnastics, for children, the same thing as well. You want to give them as much confidence as they can, as much self-respect. They are able to do it. Mm-hmm. And then maintaining that. And once they have this feeling that mm-hmm. they are able to, then they'll be motivated to do so. If I'm able to, then why not? Yeah. Let me just do it.
So this thing applies everywhere, that wherever there's a lack of hope, there's demotivation.
Very good. Exactly. Giving hope is fundamental over here. So you create goals for children. You create role models for children. Mm-hmm. You create for them a target that they can achieve, that they're able to achieve, and you give them the ability and the sense of self-respect that I can do it. Mm-hmm. And once they have that, then they feel motivation to go all the way and do it.
Thanks so much, Brother McDowell. And dear audience, it's time for a short break. We'll be right back. Do not go anywhere.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to your audience. You're listening to Islamic upbringing from IRIB English Radio. And we're discussing about the negative impacts of criticism. So, Brother McDowell, please continue.
So, on a practical level, when it comes to this parent, for example, one thing is to listen to the child. Ask the child about their session, the gymnastics session. Yeah. Don't argue or try and reason with the child. Rather, just have positive communication. And if you feel that there is a lack of confidence, then obviously it's time to increase a bit of descriptive praise, which means that you really highlight and praise and appreciate those things that they do through describing it to them. Yeah. That this action that you did had this consequence, which was really nice. Yeah. This was a very beautiful way of doing a particular thing. So give a lot of positive energy to children, both for the gymnastics session as well as generally. Children who have general positive energy are more motivated to do things. So communication with the children, motivating the children, talking to the children, listening to the children, find out exactly if anything has happened. Sometimes someone from the group might have laughed at them, might have said something to them, they might have not enjoyed something. Find out the cause. If something has happened in the classroom, then you can work on it.
So these are the negative factors which leads to demotivation.
Exactly. Spending time with children as well, especially one-to-one, sometimes it really helps. Children feels motivated to do things when they have one-on-one time with the parent. They can show what they've learned. They can express how they feel about the class. They can discuss it in a more open way. Lastly, one of the things that could lead to demotivation is also when we involve our children in too many different activities at the same time. So the child is doing gymnastics on Mondays, but football on Tuesdays, and basketball on Wednesdays, and volleyball on Thursdays, and swimming on Fridays.
So they're not able to focus on one particular thing.
Exactly. And then they're comparing different incentives, different ways. They're not stable. This leads to motivation for pretty much everything, demotivation for pretty much everything then. So focus on one or two things at a time. So if you're doing gymnastics right now, do one more thing and then focus on that basically. Up until it becomes stable, they've got a routine in it, it's a normal thing, then maybe you can add another thing. Obviously, we want children to be very active, definitely. After the age of 7, children should be doing a lot of sports, a lot of different activities, different hobbies. Obviously, taking care of the friend circle that they're going to, the different environments, how beneficial it is. Taking into consideration all of that, it's good that they have a lot of activities and they're keeping themselves busy. However, do it slowly. That it shouldn't be the case that making them too busy loses motivation in everything that they're doing. So to keep the motivation, one thing at a time, let it take its time and its growth basically mm-hmm. within you to be able to then appreciate and enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Brother Maghdad, and thank you so much to your audience for staying with us. In this program, we discussed how criticism leads to the demotivation of children and how it can take away hope from the children, which leads to their demotivation. Dear audience, we'll see you in the next show, and thank you so much for joining us on the program. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, parstoday.com. Until the next program, fi amanullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Britain's COVID vaccine program faces a two-month delay in the event of an EU export ban, derailing the government's plans to reopen the economy this summer, according to an analysis by The Guardian. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Daniel Buffy. The piece is titled, EU Export Ban Would Delay UK COVID Vaccine Drive by 2 months. Stay with us for more of Daniel Buffy's article. Britain's COVID vaccine program faces a two-month delay in the event of an European Union export ban, derailing the government's plans to reopen the economy this summer, an analysis for The Guardian has revealed. A ban, due to be debated by the leaders of the 27 European Union member states on Thursday, 25th of March, would badly stall the UK vaccination effort and would be likely to force the government to extend restrictions on people's lives. It would not, however, provide a significant boost to European Union member states' troubled programs, according to a report by the data analytics company Airfinity. The comparatively small number of doses that would be kept within the bloc would speed up the full vaccination for every adult in the European Union by just over a week, the research has suggested. On Sunday, 21st of March, the Defence Secretary, Ben Wallace, said the European Union's reputation was at stake as the 27 heads of state and government prepared to make their decision, warning that the world is watching. If contracts get broken and undertakings, that is a very damaging thing to happen for a trading bloc that prides itself on the rule of law, he told Sky News. It is counterproductive because the one thing we know about vaccine production and manufacture is that it is a collaborative effort. They would undermine not only their own citizens' chances of having a proper vaccine program, but also many other countries around the world, with a reputational damage for the European Union, which they would find very hard to change over the short term. The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said last week that the European Union was considering all options and ready to introduce emergency controls on vaccine production and distribution to deal with the crisis of the century. The 27 heads of state and government will discuss the next steps on Thursday, 25th of March, via video conference amid growing concerns over a third wave of coronavirus infections on the European continent. Plans to meet in person were cancelled on Sunday in light of a rise in the number of infections. France and Germany have privately spoken in support of activating Article 122 of the EU Treaty, last used in the 1970s oil crisis, allowing the bloc to take emergency measures to control the distribution of essential goods. The EU Commissioner for Financial Services, Mairead McGuinness, said on Sunday, 21st of March, European citizens are growing angry and upset at the fact that the vaccine rollout has not happened as rapidly as we had anticipated. The European Union member states had administered 10.4 vaccine doses per 100 people as of Saturday, compared with the 42.7 jabs administered per 100 citizens in the United Kingdom. About 10 million vaccine doses have been exported from plants in European Union member states to the United Kingdom, largely by Pfizer-BioNTech. The United Kingdom is waiting on around 30 million more Pfizer doses and 30 million from Johnson & Johnson, although only some of those had been expected to be delivered by the end of the summer. The UK government was, until the last fortnight, on course to beat its target of delivering a first vaccine dose to every adult in the UK by the end of July, by over 6 weeks, according to Airfinity. A recent supply problem with AstraZeneca's facility in India is expected to set back the pace of vaccination by 2 weeks, from 10th of June to 23rd of June. But the imposition of an export ban on doses by the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine produced in Belgium and Germany, by far the largest export to the United Kingdom, would delay every adult receiving a first jab until 5th of August, according to Airfinity. A ban on all exports of vaccines due to distribution, including those from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, would delay reaching that target to 27th of August, the analysis commissioned by The Guardian further suggests. Rasmus Beck Hansen, the chief executive of Airfinity, said export bans are a lose-lose situation and threaten the global production scale-up. The imposition of a ban would mean the European Union has marginally more doses short-term, but it won't fundamentally change its vaccine availability, and the European Union could soon be dependent on vaccine imports. A ban poses a significant risk for the United Kingdom and any potential UK retaliation on sub-ingredients would harm not only the European Union and the United Kingdom, but the world, as it will significantly slow overall production. Airfinity's estimate is based on how long it would take the United Kingdom to give at least one dose to 75% of its population, equivalent to an uptake of more than 95% of adults. The European Union has set itself the goal of fully vaccinating 70% of the population by the end of the summer. According to Airfinity, the European Union is on target for full vaccination of 75% of the population by 31st of August, despite its current difficulties, including the lack of supply from AstraZeneca. Their analysis suggests that should the European Union keep and use the doses meant for the United Kingdom, it would only bring them forward by just over a week, to 19th of August, as their collective population is much greater. The Commission and its member state governments have been enraged by the failure of AstraZeneca to deliver the promised 120 million doses of vaccines of its vaccine this quarter, while it has continued to fulfill its contractual obligations with the United Kingdom government. The company has pointed to the upfront funding provided for its collaboration with Oxford University by the UK government and its company policy of creating bespoke supply chains for the European Union and the United Kingdom. AstraZeneca exports very few doses from EU plants to the United Kingdom, but the Commission is taking a keen interest in jabs and components made in the company's Dutch facility. Sources have suggested that the Commission could, in the first instance, act to block exports from there if a request is made.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters 7300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the great parallel or dichotomies, if you would like to call it, that exist in a human being is that between worship and the intellect. And as we saw that it is through worship and through the endeavor to attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our intellects will increase, our intellects will reach perfection, our intellects will become stronger. In this tradition, the same is said, that if a person without intellect, the person without rational ability to understand why he is doing something, the principles behind certain acts, and not just doing it for the sake of doing it. It's a very important lesson for us to learn, my dear brothers and sisters, that not to just do something for the sake of doing it. For example, just don't recite, not saying that, it is not important to do these acts, it is very important, but know why you are doing it. Understand the objective behind it. What is your goal? What is your hadaf? What is your target? By trying and doing these extra acts. So in this tradition, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, whose name was Ishaq, he said that I said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, may I be your ransom. I have a neighbor who prays much, gives much in charity, performs the Hajj often, and harms no one. So obviously this person is being praised by his neighbor, not because of his compulsory acts. Obviously he does his compulsory acts, and therefore it is said that, okay, everybody does this. There's nothing praiseworthy here. But he does so many other recommended acts, mustahab acts, therefore it is worthy to praise such an individual. So the Imam then asks his companion Ishaq, he says, oh Ishaq, how is his intellect? Is he able to distinguish right from wrong? Is he able to rationalize, to intellectualize? Is he able to understand why he is doing these things and so on and so forth? The Imam asks Ishaq. So Ishaq replies, that may I be your ransom. He has no intellect to speak of. Then Imam replied and said, nothing of the deeds you have mentioned shall ascend from him because of this weakness of intellect. That just because he does much, it doesn't mean anything. He has to do it with the understanding of why he was doing it, for who he was doing it, what is the intention behind all of this. This is important. That the intellect is something that must enable us to distinguish what our target is, what our goal is, where we are planning to go. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you.